virtual threads in Spring Boot, the advice is staler than the feature. Spring Boot virtual threads move Tomcat's concurrency gate from 200 to 8192 without telling you, where your real limit lives, measured, plus the fix. Enabling virtual threads in Spring Boot Spring Threads virtual enabled equals true makes server Tomcat threads max inert. Your concurrency gate moves from Tomcat's 200 thread worker pool to server Tomcat max connections, default 8192. Throughput barely changes, but requests that used to queue harmlessly at the connector now fail late, deep in your app. The fix is a deliberate limit, not the flag. Your thread pool had a second job you never gave it, admission control. Spring Threads virtual enabled equals true deletes that job without telling you. Tomcat's gate quietly moves from 200 to 8192. Same throughput, new failure mode, here's the field guide measured. The precise version, since same throughput is doing some work in that sentence. Goodput stayed roughly unchanged, 25,858 requests okay under virtual threads versus 27,319 on the platform thread baseline, within about 5%, but around 15% of requests now failed late. Not slower. Failed. Same load, same code, one YAML line different. I wired three Spring Boot profiles that differ by a few lines of configuration, pointed the same load spike at each, and measured what got through and what fell over. Same app, same Postgres, same 10 connection Hikari CP pool. Only the concurrency wiring changes between them. Everything below is either a measured number from that repo or a quoted source, and every number is labeled measured or documented so you know which is which. It's the same one command, public repo discipline, I used for the Spring OAuth 2 series. Missy run demo builds the app, starts Postgres, runs all four load profiles, and renders the figures you'll see below. A quick definition, because the whole post turns on it. Admission control is the decision of how many requests you let do work at once, and what happens to the ones you don't. Every server has it somewhere. The trouble with virtual threads isn't that they break admission control. It's that they move it, and most of the advice you'll find hasn't caught up. The advice is staler than the feature. Search Spring Boot virtual threads today, and the top results still open with a warning about pinning. That warning was real. It's now two JDK releases out of date. And leading with it tells you the page was written for a runtime you're probably not running. A virtual thread is a lightweight thread scheduled by the JVM instead of the OS, so a blocking call parks cheaply, and you can have millions of them. They ride on a small pool of real OS threads called carriers. Pinning is when a virtual thread gets stuck to its carrier and can't unmount, so for the duration of the pin it stops being cheap. In JDK 21, when virtual threads went final under JEP 444, a synchronized block would pin. That's the origin of every careful virtual threads and synchronized don't mix post. Then JEP 491 landed in JDK 24 and fixed it. Synchronized no longer pins the carrier. A few things still do. Blocking native calls through JNI or the foreign function interface and class initializers. But the common case the tutorials warn about is gone. The diagnostic advice is stale too. The old DJDK trace pinned threads flag was removed alongside JEP 491. The tool now is the JFR event JDK virtual thread pinned. The companion repo has a missy run pindemo task that forces a real pin through a blocking class initializer and prints the event, so you can see what a genuine pin looks like before you go hunting for one that isn't there. Here's why this matters beyond trivia. I'll show you a run where 15% of requests fail under virtual threads. The stale advice hands you a ready-made villain. It must be pinning. It wasn't. During that run, JFR recorded exactly 0 JDK virtual thread pinned events. If you chase the pinning ghost, you'll rewrite synchronized blocks that were never the problem, and the failures will still be there. The thing that actually bit is where your concurrency limit went. What actually limits concurrency once virtual threads are on? Unstock Tomcat before you touch anything. The limit is the worker pool. Server Tomcat threads max, default 200. 200 requests do work at once. Request 201 waits in the connector until a worker frees up. That pool was doing two jobs and you only ever thought about one of them. Job 1, run request handlers. Job 2, the invisible one, cap how many requests are in flight. The pool was your admission control, and it was set to 200 by accident of the default. The platform baseline shows it working. I threw 7,000 concurrent workers at the 200 thread profile. Table omitted. Tomcat accepted about 7,000 connections, but only ever ran 200 at a time. The other tilde 6,800 sat queued in the connector, waiting their turn, bounded by max connections and completely harmless. Everyone got served. Nothing failed. That queue is doing exactly what a queue is for. Now flip the one line. The platform profile just pins the worker pool to Boot's default, made explicit so the before picture is on the page. Code block omitted. The VT profile throws that away and turns on virtual threads instead. This is the entire difference between the two. Code block omitted. The moment virtual threads are on, server Tomcat threads max stops meaning anything. This isn't a side effect I inferred. It's in Spring Boot's own configuration appendix, on the threads max property verbatim. Maximum amount of worker threads doesn't have an effect if virtual threads are enabled. So the worker pool is no longer the gate. It didn't get bigger. It got deleted as a limit. The next constraint down the stack takes over, and on Tomcat, that's server Tomcat max connections, which defaults to 8192. Not 10,000, which is the number half the blog post cite. Check the source. Your effective concurrency limit just went from 200 to 8192 without a single line in your config file changing, and nothing logged a word about it. Your door is still there. It just stopped stopping things. The queue didn't disappear. It moved. Same 7,000 worker spike, now against the VT profile. Here's what got through. Table omitted. Read the in-flight column because that's the whole story. Both wirings accepted about the same 7,000 connections. Under platform threads, 200 of them did work at a time. Under virtual threads, all 7,000 did. The queue that used to sit in the connector, invisible and bounded, moved inside the application and landed on the first scarce resource it found, the database connection pool. That pool holds 10 connections, so roughly 7,000 requests were now contending for 10 connections. That is 700 times the pool size and 35 times what the old 200 thread gate would have allowed through. Each request that couldn't get a connection waited on Hikari's borrow timeout, which I'd set to 30 seconds. When that timer expired, the request didn't slow down. It threw. Code block omitted. 4,721 of them, clustered on the 30-second line. That's the surprise worth sitting with. The throughput barely moved, so a dashboard watching requests per second would show two nearly identical runs. The difference only appears if you're watching the failure rate and the latency distribution. One honesty beat before I let this land. The VT in flight count topped out at 7,000, and that number is not a limit the server imposed. It's the number of workers in my load driver. The server would happily have admitted more. The only thing capping concurrency in that run was my client running out of threads to throw. Hold that thought, because the next run removes that excuse. Where does the pileup actually hurt? Look at the latency, not the counts. Now, the tempting diagnosis. virtual threads plus a database plus 15% failures. It must be pinning right. The JFR recording from that exact run says no. 0 JDK virtual thread pinned events. Hikari's get connection wait parks the virtual thread through its internal concurrent bag handoff, which is virtual thread friendly waiting. No carrier gets pinned. In fact, Hikari CP's own add virtual thread support pull request #2055 was closed unmerged because the maintainer judged the synchronized blocks in question don't see real contention. The thread wound down for good once JEP 491 was confirmed for JDK 24. So the pool didn't break under virtual threads. It did precisely its job. Hand out 10 connections, make everyone else wait up to 30 seconds, then throw a clean exception. What changed is how many requests were allowed to line up for it. The failure is admission control. It only looks like a connection pool problem because the pool is where the missing limit finally became visible. The connector ceiling is a higher wall, not a safety net. You might reasonably think, fine, there's still an 8,192 ceiling up there, so the connector will save me. It won't, and the ceiling run is where that hope dies. This time I raised the load driver to 9,500 workers, more than the 8,192 connection limit, and pointed it at the plain VT profile again. Table omitted. Two things happened at once, and it's worth being precise about which number is which. In flight and connections, both plateaued at exactly 8,192 at any given instant. That's max connections doing its job as a ceiling. Over the whole run, 13,022 connection attempts were refused at that gate. The load driver saw them as connect timeouts, and 11,379 requests that did get admitted, then failed late at Hikari, same 30-second timeout as before. The instantaneous plateau and the cumulative totals are different measurements. Don't blur them. That's the payoff. The connector ceiling didn't protect the app. It just gave the failures two places to happen instead of one, refused at the door or admitted and then drowned at the pool. A ceiling this high isn't a safety net. It's a higher wall, and the pileup happens on the other side of it just the same. Put a real limit in front of the scarce resource instead, and the same overload story ends with zero late failures. I'll build that limit next. The gate caps the count, not the pileup. The only limit that helped was the deliberate one. Every gate in one table. Before the fix, here's the whole map on one screen. This is the thing worth saving. Each cell is where your concurrency limit actually lives under each wiring. Table omitted. The left column is a system where the limit lives somewhere you can point to. The right column is a system where, unless you put a limit back on purpose, the only one left is a number you never chose. The fix is a deliberate limit, not a bigger machine. The answer is to put admission control back where you can see it. Oracle's virtual threads guide is blunt about this. Virtual threads aren't a scarce resource, so you should never pool them. And when you need to limit concurrency, you reach for a construct designed specifically for that purpose, the semaphore class. A semaphore with 10 permits in front of the database work means at most 10 requests touch the pool at once, and the 7,000th request finds out immediately instead of 30 seconds later. Spring Framework 7 wraps that pattern in an annotation, at concurrency limit, which its docs call particularly useful with virtual threads precisely because there's no thread pool limit in place anymore. Here's the whole service in the VT-gated profile. Code block omitted. Now the same 7,000 worker spike that broke the plain VT profile, this time against VT-gated. Table omitted. In flight held around 10, exactly the limit. Zero late 500s. The only other failures were 14 client connect timeouts at the connector. The same failure category, the ceiling run counts 13,022 of. The 348,431 rejections came back as fast 503s, median around 12 ms, and virtually all within a few hundred milliseconds, not 30-second timeouts. Nothing waited 30 seconds to fail. The failures moved from admitted, then drowned to turned away at the door instantly, which is the only humane way to shed load you can't serve. I have to name the trade-off, or I'd be selling you something. The gated profile's good put, 19,313, is about 30% below the platform baseline's 27,319. That's real, and it's because I set the limit to 10 to make the mechanism visible, tighter than the 200 the platform pool allowed by accident. In production, you'd size the gate to what your downstream can actually take, not to the smallest number that makes a good chart. The point of 10 here is that the limit is chosen and visible, not that it's tuned. Three gotchas the annotation won't warn you about. I hit all three building this. Each one is the kind of thing that looks like it works in a smoke test and doesn't underload. First, the default policy blocks. Leave the policy off and at concurrency limit parks the caller and waits for a permit, with no timeout knob to bail out. Under a 7,000 request pileup, blocking is just the 30-second failure with extra steps. You have to pass policy equals concurrency limit throttle policy reject to fail fast, which is why it's spelled out on the annotation above. Second, and this one cost me an afternoon, the annotation does nothing on its own. At concurrency limit is silently ignored unless something switches on the resilience infrastructure with at enable resilient methods. Here's the entire config class that arms it, gated to the VT-gated profile. Code block omitted. Without that class, the annotation compiles, the app starts, and the limit just isn't there. Spring Boot won't auto-configure it for you either. I checked whether that was an oversight. Issue hash 46916 asked for exactly this auto-configuration and was closed as not planned, with the maintainer's reasoning that we decided not to do this as it's a one-liner to enable the feature. So the gate is code, not config. Here's the proof, the entire VT-gated YAML file. Code block omitted. It's byte identical to the VT profile apart from those comments. The difference between no limit and a real limit isn't a property you can set. It's whether gating config is on the class path with its profile active. Third, a rejected call throws invocation rejected exception, and if you do nothing that surfaces as an HTTP 500, not the 503 you'd want. The clean 503 is not free. It comes from a handwritten exception handler. Code block omitted. Those 348,431 clean 503s in the table above are that handler doing its job. Skip it, and your graceful rejection is indistinguishable to a client or a load balancer from the server falling over. Thread local breaks under virtual threads. Scoped values replace it. There's a second thing that changes when you go all in on virtual threads, and it's quieter than the admission control shift because it fails softly. Thread local was doing two different jobs, and virtual threads split them apart. Job one was caching, a thread local holding an expensive to create object, reused across the many requests that shared a pooled thread. Under a virtual thread per request model, that reuse is gone. Each request gets its own fresh thread, so the cache has roughly a 0% hit rate, and every request repays the creation cost. This isn't primarily a memory leak, though it can look like one. It's a caching strategy that quietly stopped caching. Job 2 was context, carrying a request ID, a tenant, a security principle down a call chain without threading it through every method signature. That job is real, and it moves to JEP 506 scoped values, final in JDK 25. A scoped value is an immutable value bound to a dynamic scope. You set it, everything called inside that scope can read it, and it's automatically gone when the scope exits. It's a better fit than Thread Local, even ignoring virtual threads, because it can't be mutated halfway down the stack and can't leak past its scope. Where it gets interesting is sharing that context across threads you fork off, which is where structured concurrency comes in and where this PostSQL goes. When not to reach for virtual threads alone. One grounding paragraph, because virtual threads everywhere is its own stale advice in the making. Virtual threads remove the scarcity that made you write reactive or completable future chains just to handle concurrency. If the only reason your code was reactive was, "I can't afford to block a thread per request," virtual threads let you write the straightforward blocking version and keep the throughput. But reactive stacks still win where the problem is genuinely about flow, not thread count, back pressure, streaming and composing over unbounded event sources. A Spring Cloud gateway is reactive for exactly that reason. So is a consumer draining a queue, the world my rabbit MQ posts live in. The honest rule: virtual threads replace reactive for concurrency, not reactive for backpressure. The full decision table is its own post. Jetty flips the same bug the other way. Everything above was measured on Tomcat, which is what the repo runs. The Jetty story I'm about to tell was verified in the Spring Boot and Jetty sources on 2026-07-21, not measured here, and I want to be clear about that line. But it's worth telling, because it's the same lesson wearing the opposite costume. Jetty has a virtual thread pool that, unlike Tomcat's connector, does keep a hard concurrency limit under virtual threads. Its NoARG constructor is this 200, and on start it builds a new semaphore max tasks sized by get max concurrent tasks, and wraps every task in an acquire slash release. Jetty's own code comment is the tidiest one-line explanation of the whole pattern I've seen. This is a virtual thread, so acquiring a permit here blocks the virtual thread but does not pin the carrier. So Jetty virtual threads are bounded at 200 concurrent tasks by default always. Good design. The catch is upstream. Before the regression, the Jetty customizer honored your server Jetty threads max and passed it to the pool. Then it was rewritten to create a new virtual thread pool without passing the property through, and your knob went silently dead. The effective limit fell back to Jetty's internal default of 200, and setting the property to 10,000 changed nothing, with no error and no log line. The affected window spans two release lines. The switch landed in boot 3.4.11 and was forward ported to 3.5.7. So 3.4.11 through 3.5.10 and 4.0.0 through 4.0.2 all silently ignore the knob. It was fixed the same day, 2026-02-19, in both 3.5.11 and 4. The 3.4 line itself never got the fix. It ended at 3.4.13 in December 2025, so anyone on an affected 3.4 X has to jump to 3.5.11 or later. So the mirror image is this. On Tomcat, enabling virtual threads quietly removes your 200 gate. On the affected Jetty builds, it quietly keeps the 200 gate but disconnects your knob from it. Opposite bugs. Same lesson. You can't config tune a limit whose location you don't know. How I measured this and where it's soft. Now the disclosure. Placed here on purpose rather than up front, because you should judge the numbers after you've seen the mechanism they support. The setup: Spring Boot 4.1.0 on Java 25, Tomcat via Spring Boot Starter Web, PostgreSQL in Docker, Hikari CP at maximum pool size, 10 in connection timeout, 30,000 held constant across every wiring. The slash work endpoint does one thing. Select PG Sleep 0.05, about 50 ms of database work. The load driver is a deterministic closed loop spike. 7,000 workers by default, 9,500 for the ceiling run, a 20-second ramp, a 90-second hold, and a fixed start schedule with no randomness. So runs reproduce. In-flight is measured server-side by a servlet filter feeding a micrometer gauge. Tomcat connections come from JMX. Code block omitted. Here's the soft part. Client and server run on the same machine, so treat every number here as relative and structural, never as an absolute benchmark. What's trustworthy is the shape. Where the queue lives, that in-flight jumps from 200 to 7,000, that connections plateau at exactly 8,192, that late failures go to zero once a real limit is in place. What I would not quote off this is throughput per second as if it were your production ceiling. On one box, client and server fight for the same cores. That's also why I keep saying goodput was roughly unchanged and not identical. 25,858 versus 27,319 is within noise for this rig, and I'm not going to pretend a single machine measured them equal. If you want to poke at any of it, the whole thing runs from Miss C Run Demo and writes its own summary TXT, so you can disagree with my machine on yours. The one line to take away. Cheap threads don't remove your concurrency limit. They relocate it, usually somewhere less convenient than where it started, and usually without telling you. The whole game is knowing where it went and putting it back somewhere you chose. On Tomcat, that's a semaphore or at concurrency limit in front of whatever's actually scarce. On Jetty, it's checking your boot version. Everywhere, it's refusing to trust a default you didn't set. The companion repo has all four load profiles, the load driver, and the one-button demo that produced every figure here. Run it, break it, and if something's unclear or wrong on your hardware, open an issue. And the question I'd actually like answered in the comments, after you enable virtual threads, where does your deliberate limit live? If you can't point at it in one sentence, that's the post working. Structured concurrency, the next chapter. Scoped values were only half of the story I gestured at earlier. Here's the other half, and the sequel to this post. Virtual threads make a single thread cheap. Structured concurrency is the sibling track that makes many of them safe to coordinate. Once fork feels free, you fan out. Five downstream calls in parallel, one virtual thread each. But now you own the hard parts. If one call fails, cancel the rest. If the caller walks away, cancel all of them. And never leak a thread you forgot about. Plain executor service and future won't give you that. It's the concurrency equivalent of Godo. Structured task scope ties those subtasks to a lexical scope. They start together, and the scope guarantees they all finish or all get canceled together. Here's the honest part. It's still a preview feature, through JDK27 at least, and the API has been rewritten in most previews. JEP 505 JDK25 dropped the public constructor and the shutdown on failure / shutdown on success subclasses for a joiner. JDK26 layered JEP525 on top. Code you copy from a 2023 tutorial won't compile today. So this is a watch it, don't ship it section, not a how to. The one piece that is final and usable now is its partner, scoped values JEP506, JDK25, the thread local replacement from the section above. And notice the lesson carries up a level. Structured concurrency gives you structure, not a limit. Fan out across 100 scopes and you're back to the problem this whole post is about. The deliberate limit still has to live somewhere. Cheap threads didn't delete admission control. They just moved it again. I'll dig into structured task scope properly once it goes final. /Series link, future structured task scope post **.